Diners, and Travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And today we're going to take you on a round of restaurants in Bilbao, where, of course, you know, we spent a week having a wonderful time. We started out revisiting an old friend of a restaurant of an old friend, or let's put it a different way, a restaurant where we'd eaten before and loved it.
Right.
And so, and we had lunch with Maria Asua.
Yeah.
And who and then was later joined, her family runs it. We were later joined by Roberto Asua. And then finally we talked to the chef, who is a fabulous woman chef called, I don't know if I could do this, Esterique Asco. I'm not doing so well here. Well, remember, we're in Basque country.
Yes, so wait till you get some more of the spellings and the pronunciations that we don't manage. But seriously, Andrew Marie has been a family restaurant since the late 1960s. And all I can say is we were there 4 years ago. It was a lot better than when they started it. 4 years later, it's even better.
Oh, it's so good.
So it was delightful experience. Very, very traditional.
Yes. But traditional costumes, but they're not from that area. Where are they from?
I forget.
Yeah, traditional costumes.
It's a slightly different region in Spain, but I don't remember where it was.
And it's delightful, the way it's laid out and the outdoor space. And it's just charming as anything.
And the cool thing about it is it's only a 15-minute taxi ride from downtown Bilbao.
Right.
And also from the airport. So
We actually arrived with all our baggage from the airport.
We did.
We weren't going to waste any time getting that good food.
Absolutely.
We have a practice at On the Menu Radio that if we go somewhere and we have a good time, we put it on the map and we say, when can we come back? So it took us 4 years this time to come back to a beautiful restaurant just outside Bilbao in the northern part of Spain in the Basque country called Andre Mari. And we're so delighted to be here. First of all, we have to congratulate the chef for providing us with an absolutely delightful meal. So here goes. What was it that we had today?
Vale, de entrantes han comido el stick tartar con mayonesa de alcaparras, helado de vinagre, el pulpo marinado con verduras encurtidas y gel de oliva. Como tercer entrante, molleja de ternera con crema de limón y cerveza. Y luego los dos han comido pescado, rodaballo en su jugo y emulsión de algas y la merluza a la cosquera en salsa verde con almejas.
Before we do anything else, let's have Roberto do those dishes for us in English, because it blew by me just a little bit. And then we're going to come back and we're going to ask Chef to tell us more about some of these special ingredients.
Yes, stick tartar with caper mayonnaise and vinegar ice cream, marinated. Octopussy with pickled vegetables and veal sweetbreads with lemon and beer.
And we added one more item, not because we were hungry, but because we were so delighted with everything else. And I love oxtails. So we had coda de buey.
Sí, ha sido el oxtail, el rabo de buey. El rabo de buey con rabo de buey al vino tinto, en tomate también.
Ah, también, en castellano le digo.
Sí, sí.
Vale, también de segundo, como carne, han elegido el rabo de buey guisado con vino tinto y pimientos rojos.
No, you people were giving us so much food that you missed out a number of things we had. The first dish we had was absolutely mind-blowing. Zarina, the asparagus, How did you make that asparagus appetizer?
Vale, la elaboración de los espárragos, lo que hacemos es bueno, traemos un espárrago de calidad de Navarra. Entonces los limpiamos bien, le damos dos vueltas para que no queden las hebras y luego los cocemos con agua, vino blanco, laurel, azúcar y sal. Depende del grosor, le damos entre 15 y 20 minutos.
Now you sort of blew by this steak tartare, but what did that come with? Mahonesa? I don't know what all that means, but tell us what that is. And we love the vinegar ice cream.
Vale, el steak tartare utilizamos carne de ternera cruda y lo que hacemos es mezclarla, hacer una especie de aliño con cebolleta, sal y vinagre, un poquito de vinagre. Luego aparte hacemos una mahonesa de alcaparras, como una mahonesa, o sea, huevo, aceite y alcaparras. Hacemos una tierra de aceituna negra que ponemos a secar las aceitunas negras y luego las trituramos. Esa sería la tierra de aceituna negra. Y ponemos el sorbete de vinagre. Es hacer un sorbete, un almíbar, añadirle vinagre, lo congelamos y lo metemos en la pacollet.
I'm going to hand that
over to Roberto because I have a really important question for him, because this restaurant has been in your family for a long time. You can recap for us just exactly how long that is later in the interview, but I wonder, it must be an enormous issue to be able to get a new chef into a kitchen that's been running for a long time and have them so successful without embarrassing the chef. Can you tell us how you did that?
Claro, es un restaurante que tiene muchísima tradición, muchísimos años. Entonces, claro, el hecho de, después de tantos años, el cambiar el chef y por una mujer, sin menospreciar a los chefs hombres, pues que ha tenido que ser un esfuerzo muy grande y un cambio muy grande. A ver cómo hemos sido capaces, cómo has sido capaz de... ¿Cómo ha sido todo eso?
Sí,
¿no?
El secreto está en el tiempo. Suriñe lleva con nosotros 12 años. Empezó de niña, empezó aquí con the secret is time. It's time. Suriñe is with us in 12 years with us. And he has learned with us our cuisine. So it's a natural process to arrive to chef. Yes.
Well, you know, I think that in this part, well, in all of Spain, seafood is very special. We also had some other seafood dishes as well. I didn't want to sort of zip past those. We compared, actually, the kind of turbo we get in the States with the turbo, which is called what here? Turbo. Rodaballo, in its own juice with an emulsion.
Emulsion.
Yeah. And then we had also hake with a parsley sauce. And, you know, I think we had a lot more than what you've already told us, because we've been eating for 2 hours or three, I think.
De la merluza a la costera, decir algo.
Bueno, pues que sí que es un plato tradicional. La salsa a la costera es uno de los platos, de las salsas tradicionales del País Vasco.
Vale, la merluza es un pescado de toda la vida. Nos traen del Cantábrico, viene con muchísima calidad. Entonces elaboramos un plato de mucha tradición, ¿no? De muchos años. La hacemos en salsa verde con almejas y espárrago blanco, con guisantes, porque creemos que es un plato que, por muy tradicional que sea, hay que hacerlo bien.
Well, I mean, the thing I'm going to say is, well, you're not saying it, but I'm telling you, it's the balance of flavors you have in every single dish, just the right amount of flavor, seasoning, acid, the whole thing that made it all just wonderful. We thank you very, very much because it was just a wonderful, even the bread was good too. I ate some of that. Ate too much. Never got to dessert. Anyhow, Peter.
Well, we could talk to Chef all day, but we know she has a meeting, so we should release her for the meeting. Let's come back to Roberto and Maria and give us the history again of this restaurant, because we recorded it before some years ago. I don't want people to have to go far back to understand just exactly how this place grew and became so successful, because that certainly has happened.
Hace 4 años se habló de un poco de la historia de esto, pues que se ponga un poquito en ambiente otra vez y que se hable cómo durante tantos años cómo creció todo este restaurante, cómo ha crecido tanto volver a repetir un poco la historia, pero ellos quieren un poquito más breve que la última vez.
Bueno, la historia se remonta en inglés. The history of the restaurant comes from 1964, and from my parents and my cousins. And
surname is Asua.
Asua, yes. And in this period of time, we have combined the traditional cuisine with the modern cuisine, and always with young people in the cuisine. I think this is the secret of the success of the restaurant.
Maria Lasua, cousin to Roberto, describe, just so people can anticipate, the setting. And the traditional costumes as the uniforms and so forth. It's a rustic setting. Describe some of that.
The waiters' clothes come from the cottages, which were typical here in the Basque Country. And, in fact, it is from the zone, the area of Navarra. Clothes dressing in the hair brought from Navarra, the color and the dresses are brought from Navarra, from the Basque area of Navarra. All the this cottage is the restaurant is brought from cottages which were destroyed, very old, and then the owners decided to destroy the cottages, and the materials are brought from those some palaces, from some mansions, from cottages, big cottages. From all this area, from the area of Galdacano, from the area of Durango, and from different cottages from Biscay. Yes, cottages which were about 200 or even more years old.
Now, we discovered in our conversation with Maria earlier on that you actually had an exciting new development in the history of Andre Marie, that has something to do with soccer. And soccer is madness in Spain anyway, so we know that. But how exciting must be for you to be a part of Bilbao soccer, which you understand you recently became, running the restaurant in the stadium.
No.
Soccer. Soccer, football.
Soccer is football. Football.
Yes, this is a new experience in Bilbao. In for us, is very, very, very important and very grateful to work in the stadium in the athletic football in Bilbao, no? And the cuisine is similar. The cuisine of Andramari, but in absolute different atmosphere.
Can you actually go to the restaurant when there isn't a game going on? I mean, is it available for people who just want to go to get lunch in Bilbao rather than having to drive all the way to Galdakao? Is the restaurant open to the public when there isn't a game going on?
Yes, in this moment it's closed. Only in the moment of the match is closed the restaurant.
How does Bilbao feel about his soccer anyway?
Bilbao this year very bad. Very bad. But only this year. Next year, I think it will be better, I think, yes.
Roberto, you just went to an important meeting when we showed up for lunch, actually, on sustainability. Can you tell us who's spearheading this and actually what he is doing? I mean, I know, but tell our listeners.
The sustainability.
Eneco,
yes. Eneco is the leadership of this movement in Vizcaya, of the sustainability in the sustainability in the restaurants. I think that we work always thinking in sustainability, but it's important to show this way of work. But I think for us it's very, very important the nature, the ecology, and the landscape, and we respect always the sustainability in our world.
Now we're sitting out on a terrace. We're looking out over a beautiful landscape, and there's this funny bird. What kind of bird is that making a funny noise?
Yes. Sometimes we listen no only birds, but the the cars, yes.
I mean, we've not really asked you how you feel about this. You're having a huge crowd of international culinary stars descending on Bilbao because you've had more than a little bit of fame over your famous Guggenheim Museum. But next week you're having a 3-day sustainability conference here, and you're having the meeting and award ceremony of the 50 best restaurants in the world. I mean, isn't this exciting?
Yes, it's very important for Bilbao and for Vizcaya that this event to take away here in Bilbao. I think it's very important to show our cuisine and gastronomy. Yes.
Well, we love this part of the country. We're always looking for an excuse to come here, so keep us posted on what's going on.
And let's give Peter's last part of what I usually put in. Well, you have to get me the wine person. The wine person's not here, so I can't substitute that. What I can do is say that it's
it's very easy to get here because we didn't drive. We drove the last time and got lost. We didn't drive this time. We took a taxi, which took about 15 minutes from the Bilbao airport. If you like to travel on the train, you can take the train from Bilbao to the train station in Galdacao and give yourself an energetic walk up the hill. Andre Marie, I'm sure they'll find a way to get you if you got as far as the train station. There really is every good reason why you should explore Andre Marie and its sister restaurant, whose name I can't pronounce. Roberta, do that one for me.
Sister restaurant. The other restaurant.
The other, Arechondo. Yeah. Arechondo restaurant, yes. Arechondo restaurant is the other restaurant of the family. Is bigger than Andre Marie for big groups of guests, but the gastronomy, the cuisine is very similar, and the atmosphere and the house is beautiful too. Yes.
There's a crack sommelier here too, named Margarita Atutsa.
Yes.
Yeah, and the wine list is rather splendid. I mean, we had local white.
Yes, the wine list, the wine list is quite big. We have 400 references of wines. Wines from Rioja and all Spain, also the Basque Country, and the other regions of all the world.
Yes.
We had a particularly interesting page. I can't remember the name now, but it was something like innovative winemakers. Done in Spanish, which I thought was very clever, because they're not only Spanish wines, they're wines from other parts of the world as well. And so I enjoyed reading those. And here we go. We discovered a wine on the list from the Rioja region called Roda One. We realized that we had met the owners of this estate when they were just starting out. But Marguerite, you said you met them in person, so you knew this wine very well. So there was I thinking I might show you something and you already knew. But you also knew exactly what local white wine to recommend for us.
Vinos innovadores. A ver, ¿por qué tenemos los vinos innovadores en la carta y cuál recomendarías?
This is a sophisticated wine program.
Los vinos innovadores tenemos en carta para hacer una carta más ágil y dar a conocer las nuevas propuestas en vinos. Entonces, siempre ayudamos además a las nuevas bodegas, a las nuevas iniciativas de gente que está lanzando producto nuevo.
The innovative wines are started to make a rhythm more faster in the election of the wine, because there are so many denominations, there are so many different wines that people get a little bit surprised and surprised with, and then it's just to suggest some cellars that are new, that are from new people and are not discovered. And so we make a depart from that wines.
So when you come, listeners, make sure Marguerite's on your team. And so it was sad to say goodbye, but we must let you get back to the business of feeding more happy customers. So Roberto, Maria, delight to meet you again, and let's not make it maybe 4 years till the next time we come.
Okay. Yes.
we wait for you in 4 years. Eh? Thank you.
Muchas gracias. What was I going to say about?
No idea. Eskerrik asko.
What?
In euskera. Eskerrik asko.
Thank you very much.
Eskerrik asko.
I was going to say mucho gusto. Pitiful. Give me 2 more days and I'll be singing Cielo to Lindo.
Okay, thank you all. Once again, a delight to be here. The restaurant is called Andrea Marie. It's within reach of the city of Bilbao and the Bilbao International Airport. Make sure you put it on your travel list because you'll be assured of a wonderful time, just as we did once again.
And don't go away because we'll be right back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Now, in addition to a very traditional restaurant of the type that we just went to, Bilbao is also somewhat on the cutting edge of new Basque cuisine, not surprisingly, I guess, since it's in the Basque country.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the local stars is Eneko, and I don't remember, and even if I did, I wouldn't be able to pronounce his last name. Eneko has a Michelin 3-star restaurant in the hills outside Bilbao, and he just took over about 2 or 3 months ago, operating a restaurant in the convention center in Bilbao itself. And we had an excellent Sunday lunch there and an excellent and interesting interview with the chef who spent the formative years of his career with Eneko out in the country, Michelin 3-star country, and then transferred to head up the kitchen at Eneko Bilbao.
Yeah, now, didn't we run the interview with him about sustainability yet or not?
Yeah, well, a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed the chef with Eneko about the sustainability seminar.
Yeah,
this is a very elegant restaurant project that we were surprised to find out that he had just taken it over, and a lot of what's on the menu there is very similar to what's on the menu at Eneko itself. So it's an excellent place to go because it's also very convenient, being a very short walk away from the main streets of the city of Bilbao.
We had a marvelous Sunday lunch at a restaurant in Eneko Bilbao, in Bilbao, and we were talking to the chef, and I'm going, he's a real Basque, born and bred. And I'm going to ask him to pronounce his name for us.
Okay, and I have to press something? Or
it's no, just okay. Go close.
Okay. Sorry.
Close.
It's my name is Iker Barrenechea Arando.
It sounds so beautiful. Why I can't say it, I don't know. Iker, you have worked with Eneko for a long time. And before that, you received training. Tell us just a bit about your background. You were born and raised near here.
Yeah, I worked. I studied for cook in Vitoria. It's the capital of the Basque Country, and I've been studying there just for 2 years. And after that, I came here to Bilbao to start with Eneko. He gave me the chance or the opportunity to go to another restaurant like the Pat Duck in London.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I've been there just for 1 month, but it was a really nice experience. And after that, I just been working with him. These 9 years have been very successful.
At the other restaurant.
And
tell them who.
I've been working there in Azurmendi for those 9 years. I've been in the different stations, intermediate appetizers, meat station, fish station, pastry production, weddings, events. I touch everything, and I've been also being the head chef or the responsible of the kitchen there in the in Naturmendi, in Eneko Larrabetsu also.
Well, if you've been there that long, and here, of course, you are a head chef, and if you've been working with Eneko that long, you probably share a lot of his philosophy. I always think of him as a very thoughtful, thinking chef, and he's done much for sustainability. Are you also interested in this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's really important, all that philosophy that Eneko has, and part of the sustainability. I think that it's really, really important.
And if you were also at the Heston Blumenthal at the Fat Duck, you probably learned an awful lot about molecular gastronomy and progressive modernist techniques. Do you use those?
Yeah, I used them when I came back here in Azurmendi. I show a little bit to Eneko all the things that they have been doing there. And the thing is, we used quite a lot of techniques that I learned there.
Well, we'll talk about some of the dishes, but it was familiar seeing the oyster the technique, and Kiki da Costa likes that too in Spain. So, who comes here? It's a very elegant space. It's beautifully designed, and as you said, it's only a couple of months old. It was busy at lunchtime. Of course, it was Sunday lunch, which is popular, but who actually, on a regular basis, dines here? Your clientele, who comes here to eat?
Who?
Yeah, what kind of people? Gatipo de gente. Businessmen, ladies for lunch, what kind of people?
Yeah, we have a very different kind of people. We have businessmen for the week, during the week, basically. Then we have also people, the weekends we have people who just want to have a good time, a great time, to eat well and enjoy with their families. And we also have we start having some famous people here in Spain, in Bilbao.
So you're becoming very well known here. Well, I mean, certainly Azurmendi is very well known anyhow, that's true. Run us through some of these. Let's start with, you have a choice on this luncheon menu. You can have the full tasting menu, which is what we had. You could have a shorter tasting menu, or you can have a la carte. We liked the looks, and we think that the full tasting menu is quite a bargain. Could you tell us what some of these dishes are, and can you describe some of the ingredients and the techniques?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the appetizers that I think that they are a little bit different as what you are, what we are used to. What we are used to find in other restaurants. We have a caipiricha, for example. It's a eatable cocktail. It's made with the base of the caipirinha. We change we remove the cachaça. And we add the chacolí. The chacolí is a white wine that we produce in Azurmendi also, in our own winery.
It comes in a tree.
That absolutely, yeah, that's true. And it comes from the tree. You have to pick it up with care, and it's must be eaten in just one bite. We continue, for example, with another.
Which one?
Yeah.
Which?
Maybe the. The orange.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Try that one.
We find also the orange and foie. It's a different presentation. It's
just to take your time. Sorry, we other good.
It's a foie gras slice. We make it in a mold. We freeze it, and then we make a
glaze.
A glaze. We make a glaze, an orange glaze, and we put it in the top of a real orange with a leaf. So I think it's quite original. Also, we start with the main plates. We start with the tartar, the vegetable tartar. It's a beetroot tartar. We add some. Emulsions, some mustard. We decorate with different flowers, emulsions, some freeze-dried ingredients like black olives, like freeze-dried beetroot, and we finish with a caviar oil also. We have another one, like for example the farm egg yolk on wheat.
Beautiful. What kind of grain is that comes on the wheat? Are they wheat berries or couscous or pearl?
Well, that's a homemade kind of pasta.
Couscous.
It's
like Israeli couscous.
It looks like a couscous, but really it's a kind of homemade pasta. And we chop it really slim or
very small.
Really small, and we cook it with a grilled vegetable sauce, with a red pepper sauce, and well, I think that we to finish with that. Sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. We finish the plate with. Mushroom emulsion,
oh, right.
And the egg yolk in the top. When you mix it and you taste it, I think that it's a really nice flavor. Yeah.
The mushroom sauce is very intense.
Yeah, it is.
Right? The mushroom sauce we're saying is very intense, and I said the same about the oyster, which you serve the oyster broth. It's so intense. Did you boil up the shells a lot?
Yeah, for the aroma that we call with the dry ice, we create that aroma in the table that makes something similar to the Bilbao's mornings, because we have the fog in all this valley. So yeah, that's what it reminds us. Well, the way we do it is just we have a
liquid nitrogen.
I will do it easier because it's not.
what is it?
We have a machine. It's called a focalized ultrasound machine. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a machine to make the aroma. It's called a. In Spanish, it's ultrasonidos focalizado.
Okay, fog.
Maybe to the translation will be like a focalized ultrasound machine. Huh. Maybe.
Okay.
And what we do is we put the mushrooms, the mussels, some seaweed, some. Sea water, and then with the machine, what it makes, it's
smoke.
Yeah,
job.
That machine, what it does is those ingredients with the water, those aromatic properties, they are translated to the water.
Okay.
Right?
Those infused.
They're like an infused, like an infusion. That's called infusion.
I didn't recall that.
So that machine, what it does, it's a cold infusion.
Cold infusion, okay. And it was delicious. That was the biggest, fattest oyster. It was great. You seem to use a lot of flowers. You must like, they're beautiful to look at, but they're edible flowers, all of them. And you obviously, all the Spaniards do wonderful things with pork. What about this pork? It was so delicious, we couldn't stop eating it.
The pig.
Well, this pig, it's a really special recipe. It has been for years in Azurmendi. We thought that it's good enough to have it here also with us in Eneko Bilbao. It's good for 48 hours in a runner. It's like a bain-marie.
Uh-huh.
62.5 degrees.
Okay. And
so we get that that flavor with the herbs that we add, and
basil.
And it's saccharine.
I always gravitate to lobster, and that's the one I was talking about earlier. I was thinking about you must have boiled down the shells to get the intensity of that broth. But I'm reading it here, and you say it's like chicken broth, it's poultry broth. Just broth, let's say lobster.
Well, the broth, I think that it's a very intense flavor. We cook it for 3 days the fire nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Before that, we take all the chicken, we marinate it for 1 day in the camera. After that, we put it in the oven, we get it toasted. After that, we put it in the pan or in the pot, and we cook it for those 3 days, reducing really slow.
Sous vide?
Sous vide?
Do you do sous vide?
No.
Well, I want to say that, of course, let's not forget this, the roasted duck with the apple and parsley, which was fabulous. It was just perfectly done. It was rosy, but it was cooked. And I think that what I love the most about it is the flavors are individually very intense, but I think it's labor intensive too. I mean, how many seats do you have and how many cooks? How many diners eat here and how many cooks do you have? This is labor intensive, lots of work.
Well, right now we are eight cooks in the kitchen. We make double service just Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays, and Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays just for the lunchtime. We close the Tuesdays.
Well, you've been looking around, I'm sure, at the things you're going to be putting on the menu soon. What ingredients are you particularly attracted to that will be coming next into season? Are you in love with cooking any particular ingredients?
Well, I have to say that I don't have any particular ingredients, but I think that the best thing is to work with the seasonal products. Now in summer it's getting, so we have here an awesome tomatoes, some peppers we call Guernica pepper. We normally deep fried and yeah, with some salt and just eat them. They are awesome.
Well, I mean, it's this was, of course, the full course. I mean, it was quite a lot for us to eat, but it was just so varied that you didn't get tired of eating. So we ate our way all the way through, and even had that that dessert, which had, you have unusual flavors in, like, the rosemary in the dessert. It just, everything is just balanced and on the mark. It's a lot. Are you having fun?
Fun?
Doing it?
You, for cooking it.
Oh, if I'm happy or I'm...
Yes. Grato?
Grato?
Grato.
Yes, I think that it's if you... I have to think back. Yeah, we work here for many hours, so we have to love what we do, because if not, that's it's impossible to hold on. Hold it?
You would be able, I know. It's hard work. It's Peter.
It's a tribute to the hard work that we were just talking about, that we left after lunch and came back in the appointed hour of 6 p.m. And at 6 p.m. the restaurant lunch diners were the last ones were leaving. So you're not getting a very long break. But I guess it's also very satisfying that people want to stay such a long time because they feel so comfortable. And the busy wine service under Julio, is it Julio? Julio introduced us to a Grenache-based wine from Madeira. I'm from Madrid. There's a range of wines from all over Spain, but especially an emphasis on wines with that name I can't pronounce, which is a white wine, which is everywhere in this part of the world. Pronounce it for me, if you would.
The white wine.
Fast
one. Last one. Yeah.
Onda Rabi Suri Serratie.
Okay, get that one if you can. We did find that someone was entering with a stranger, but it was Father's Day, and they were having a group of 10 people here. So they brought their own bottle of Rota 2, still in the box, and someone brought them some Sergion, also from the Rioja, and there's a page in the wine list that promises it's going to be wines from Bilbao. It turns out it's wines that people from Bilbao love, which are from the Rioja, not red wines from Bilbao, which appears don't exist.
Yeah, that's it. We have Rioja really close to the Basque Country, so we love those wines. There's also a part of La Rioja that is called La Rioja Alavesa, where the wines are also spectacular. You should taste them.
I hope we can do that. We have to find someone who's bringing them to us in our country, otherwise we'll just have to drink our share while we're here, right, sweetheart?
I want to say thank you in Basque, and I've been trying to learn it, but I can't remember. Could you, is it Arica?
Es que ricasco.
Muchas gracias, I can manage. Thank you so much for lunch and for talking to us.
I have a terrible time with the Basque pronunciations. On the menu, as listeners all around the world, many of whom have probably never heard of Bilbao. Do you have a word from the kitchens of Bilbao for our listeners around the world, like, make sure you come soon or something like that?
Well, yeah, I really invite you here to Bilbao, to Basque Country. The food is amazing, people it's awesome. And one recommendation, come in summer, because in winter time it's cold, it's rainy every day. So
that was 2 days ago. So summer starts around the 4th of July here in the Basque Country. We say that happens in Pittsburgh, our home city, too, because it rains quite a lot there. But it's been a pleasure to meet you, and I know you're going to be a very successful young man. I wonder what lies in your future. Perhaps you know, or perhaps you don't know.
What does the future hold for you?
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know, but well, I think that I'm going to be here for a time, a quite long time, if everything goes good, if the restaurants keep on working as it does. And who knows? I don't know the future.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
One of the challenges of being in a city where you've only been once before, and many times, in fact, when we go out, we've never been to a city before, and we're relying on recommendations, and some recommendations are good, and some of them are not so good. In Bilbao, El Viejo Zortzi was certainly in the category of being a fine recommendation, a casual restaurant.
It's the old something, Zortzi.
Yes, the old Zortzi. Interestingly enough, a fine collection of wine, which you can buy to take out as well.
It's also a wine shop.
And a very traditional Basque menu. But the best part of it was we also got a recommendation for the, if you like, the mothership of a chain of three restaurants. And we're going to be doing an interview with Chef Daniel Garcia, who owns the whole shooting match and is the resident chef at Zortzico, with a Michelin star to go along with it. So here's Zortzico, but let's not forget El Viejo Zortzi, since that's how we got there in the first place.
Now, we're in another one of these wonderful restaurants in this particular group in Zortzico, people that we ate in another restaurant, El Viejo, the other night, and loved a typical classical Basque food. We're going to be talking to the chef, who is Daniel Garcia, and he is a pro. He has cooked for many years. He has three restaurants. The one we're in has one Michelin star. And I think that he probably could tell you a little bit more about what all he does. He has a cooking school and everything else. Tell us what his company is like.
Vale, no, bueno, pues esto con un buen equipo que es en el que me apoyo. Si no, sería imposible poder mantener esto. Tenemos un equipo muy disciplinado y los tres restaurantes se dirigen, en cada uno de ellos hay personal responsable. Yo me encargo personalmente de coordinar un poco todo lo que respecta a la cocina.
And the idea is so is that he take the idea for take the control for the three restaurants, yes, and he take it that it is possible with the group, yes, of the people that is the staff, yes, that we maintain. It's impossible take this better or the that it take on, yes. But it's possible, but only made with the control, with the staff, and so on the discipline, yes, that it made. You understand me?
I thought
after being at the 30 restaurant that that Daniel was Basque, but he's not. He was born elsewhere. Tell us where he comes from.
Bien, yo mi origen de nacimiento es de Salamanca. Bien, pero lo que es la cocina, que es lo que practico, es como si hubiese nacido aquí, debido a que mi formación profesional desde un principio la inicié aquí y aquí la he desarrollado. O sea, quiere decir que en cuanto a cocina, pues soy vasco.
And so he comes from Salamanca. Yes. It's one district of Castilla y León, yes, from yes. Spain. But he comes to Bilbao, to the Basque Country, so, earlier, yes, with 14 years, no? Con 14 años.
Sí.
With 14 years, yes. And he makes his formation, yes, in the cooking in Bilbao, everything, okay. Yes, and around you.
Okay.
And, why? ¿Por qué aquí? Well,
porque aquí se da una de las mejores cocinas del mundo para mí, en cuanto a primero que estamos rodeados de un producto exquisito, fenómeno, que es, por ejemplo, pues el mar. Tenemos montes, sí. Que tenemos mucha caza, tenemos muchas setas, la huerta de aquí también es muy buena, y luego lo que son las bases y la tradición de la cocina está muy arraigada a la tierra.
Eso, bueno. Eso. Yes, eso. Bueno, he said that this, he comes here for the best product that we have in Basque Country. Yes, we have tradition, we have also the tradition of the mountain and the sea, yes, with very good products. Yeah. And this is the idea, the base of his kitchen, that is, he knows that is in Basque Country. Yeah. It's better than the other parts of Spain.
Yeah. What is your focus of this restaurant? Your other restaurant is classical, and what is Sortico? If the other is classical, is this more experimental?
Este es un restaurante que digamos va con el sentir de la ciudad. Es decir, esta ciudad arquitectónicamente es muy clásica, pero a la vez es una arquitectura muy moderna, puesto que podemos poner como ejemplo el Guggenheim o el Palacio Euskalduna o el mismo San Mamés, ¿eh? Todo esto es muy moderno, ¿de acuerdo? Entonces,
sí, sí.
Mi cocina está basada en la tradición y en la modernidad. Lo mismo somos capaces de inventarnos un plato nuevo que actualizar un plato clásico para hacerlo moderno.
So, bueno, yo no entiendo, ¿no? That is so, the idea that is in Bilbao, we have modernity and the classical, yes. It's possible the buildings, or it's possible the ideas, yes. And he takes that it's possible make one classical dish, take a touch for the modernity, or create one new, yes, but in the same base, with the good products and the idea of the city, yeah.
Of course, that is what has put in the Basque Country on the map. I mean, it's the influence of the more experimental dishes, but also not forgetting the Basque roots, the traditions, the classical. When diners come here, I'm looking at a menu, and you have a section called Producto Técnica and technical and imaginative. Then you have an opportunity for a tasting menu, a short tasting menu and a long tasting menu, and also you have you have an a la carte menu, and you have lots of desserts. The Spaniards have a real sweet tooth, do they not? Did I give a description of what is on offer at this restaurant correctly?
Entendemos que nuestra clientela, el 98%, son personas que visitan Bilbao, que visitan la ciudad. Trabajamos con muy poquita gente de la ciudad. Esto es normal en restaurantes de estrella Michelin. Trabajamos con mucha gente de lejos y nos cuesta más acercar a la gente de cerca, de casa, ¿no? Entonces yo entiendo que las personas que vienen aquí, que vienen a lo mejor una única vez, quizá quieren probar nuestra cocina. La mejor forma de hacerlo es hacer un recorrido a lo largo de los platos. Generalmente con el menú que más nos solicitan los clientes es el menú largo. Tiene más contenido de platos, más variedad y sobre todo porque este no es un restaurante de prisa, es un restaurante tranquilo.
The idea of the people that come to Sorchico is so it's the 98%, no? Más o menos. You have the people, these 40 people, yes? Because so, and the idea is that it takes the tasting menu, because there are more variety of dishes, yes, you have all the options and the ideas of the Daniel García and the staff, yes, in this case for the norm, yes, with the best products and clear ideas, yeah, and it's more bueno.
Can chef pick a few dishes that are viewed as the signature dishes from his kitchen and explain in detail the technique and the ingredients?
Nosotros, en mi cocina, le damos mucha importancia al producto. Le damos mucha importancia a la técnica. Es una cocina que la elaboramos con muy poquitos ingredientes para que el producto principal lo tengamos no solamente en la vista, sino que cuando lo introducimos en la boca nos diga exactamente qué estamos comiendo. Es decir, me gusta hacer una cocina transparente.
Yeah,
so
for our listeners, you have to tell us.
Yes, so the idea is so that we take the produce the best, yes, and the first thing that we take, and we show on the chef show in this case the product, and you take it in the mold, yes, and take the specialty. I don't know that you tell you. And this, the idea is so that the product is the first, yes, and you see the plate, so seasonal product is possible, you have, but always is the good product for local too. Yes? Right. And the idea is that you taste the product and you have the different sensations, yes, in your mouth. Yeah?
But can you actually select a couple of dishes to talk about and explain?
Que elija un par de platos y que se los...
Uno de nuestros platos más representativos de nuestra carta, que no puede faltar, es la ostra. La ostra crocantes sobre migas crujiente. Es decir, es un plato que me costó mucho conseguirlo porque lo que buscaba era sobre todo que la ostra no le llegase a afectar el calor después de haberla elaborado y haberla cocinado a 180 grados.
Eso, the plate that he tells you that is the oysters, yes? Yes, yes. So it's a crunchy oyster. The oyster is in buffy in spinach clips, yes, and fried. It's crunchy outside, and inside is semi-natural, and the problem that is checked is the temperature, yes, optimal for to take the oyster in the specimen. Yes, we have a little bit of a jelly made too with the oyster juice.
On every menu, we in here we've noticed pigeon. Why is pigeon so important in this part of the Basque world?
El pichón es un clásico ya también de nuestra carta. ¿Qué busco en este plato? Que cada parte del ave tenga un punto de cocción en tiempo y en forma diferente. De tal manera que las cinco partes que cocinamos del pichón, cada una está elaborada para que esté cada una en su punto. No podemos hacer un pichón entero, cocinarlo, porque la pechuga estará rosa, en punto rosa, y el ala estará dura. Entonces, esta es la técnica. Aún así, es un plato que a medida que va transcurriendo el tiempo, lo vamos evolucionando.
So the pigeon is so is one dish that is a classical in Sorchico. Yes, it's in the menus in 1991. Well, but this one dish that is Daniel created so in 1991 and maintained, and it's each part is made in different way. Yes, and that is the difficult. Yes, that you take the form and the time for each part to make one grilled, one you have roasted, you have caramelized all the time. Fried and panna cotta, and it's a plate that you have in the basket the with the pigeon, but you have so in always is in evolution, yeah, in the south, and it's not possible to take away from the menu, yes, but the people, where is the pigeon, is obvious. Yeah.
Right. There seems to be a great deal of importance also to foie gras. Why?
Sí, el foie, este plato es uno de los más imitados en otras cocinas, porque un día se me ocurrió cocinarlo y estando caliente lo trituré y lo pasé por un colador para a continuación trabajarlo sobre hielo. Y adquirir una textura homogénea, cremosa. Y lo acompañamos con una pera caramelizada con vinagre y lo rematamos con una gelatina de vino tinto de La Rioja. Tradicionalmente en Francia el foie está asociado al sauter. Foie sauter. Y aquí quise hacerlo con nuestro vino. Es un plato que gusta muchísimo y es el único foie que conozco yo que desde hace muchos años que se come con cuchara.
Eso. This is all the classical of Sorchico, yes, I think so that is 1997. Yeah, and you have so it's an emulsion made with the foie.
Yes.
Yes, it's a special emulsion, it's homogenic, and you have so in the base the beer caramelized, yes, you have made with vinegar, yes, and up is a tempranillo grape jelly, yes. So they know that, or he knows that in France you have the foie associated with the sauter, but here he take a touch and so the foie that is associated with the red wine from Rioja. This one is a tempranillo grape. Yes, that is the idea. And it's other special of the speciality of Sorchico, a classical too. That's it.
Has the chef had a lot of visitors with the world's 50 best restaurants being held in Bilbao yesterday and the prior week? And the big award ceremony was last night. What did he think of all of that? And have you had more visitors from outside of Bilbao who are chefs come to this restaurant?
A ver, que ayer fue la cena, ¿no?, de final de los 50 chefs de, en este caso, de, del País Vasco, y eso, y que, bueno, que tuvisteis cena ayer y demás, y que en este caso es eso, que a ver qué, qué desea.
Este acontecimiento tan importante, creo que definitivamente pone a Bilbao en el mapa del mundo, creemos. Y pienso que tendrá, a partir de ahora, una repercusión mayor dentro de nuestro propio colectivo de cocina. Ha sido una oportunidad para dar a conocer a mucha gente que ha venido por primera vez y que nos descubra. Y bueno, yo desde luego que estoy muy muy contento de cómo ha salido todo, porque sobre todo hay una cosa que nosotros valoramos mucho y así la practicamos, que es la hospitalidad. No somos una ciudad que lleve muchos años hablando de turismo. Para nosotros la palabra turismo es muy nueva. Aquí no venía gente a hacer turismo. Entonces, llevamos esto andado ya hace unos años, desde Google, y bueno, creo que lo estamos consiguiendo y creo que lo estamos aumentando.
It's a great logro that you have in in Bilbao, this one, the different chefs at the restaurants, and the idea that Daniela is so that it's possible that the people know and all the chefs just know that Bilbao is in the world, yes, and it's a very good treat for that, yes. And so we start with the Guggenheim, yes, that we put the Bilbao in the map, yes, and so these things that that yesterday or these days, yes, was more. It's fun, yeah. Bueno.
No sé. Sí. Well, Jeff, muchas gracias. yes, tell him his Spanish is so good I even understand it.
Yes.
I tell him his Spanish is so good. Yes. I can understand it. He speaks so clearly.
Eso, que España es que es muy buena y que eso que
sí. Desde luego que como comentaba antes, este es un punto y aparte, porque la gente que viene aquí no viene en busca de sol, no viene ni de playa, viene por el arte que tiene, viene por el arte que se ofrece en los diferentes museos, por el Palacio Euskalduna, a través de sus congresos y demás, y sobre todo es muy importante que notamos desde hace varios años que la gente viaja de muy lejos para venir a comer aquí. Esto para nosotros es muy emocionante.
The people don't go to or don't come to Basconchi for the weather, yes, you know. But this is possible for the art or the different buildings that you have, and especially for the gastronomy. That is the Basque gastronomy. I'm more in Vizcaya, yes, now.
Yeah. And thank you to you, our translator. Allora.
And we come to the other room now.
Yes.
Let me just finish up here.
Wait.
Hello, this is Peter. Of course, you need me to tell you where this is, and the short answer is it's just around the corner from the Guggenheim Museum. So it's very easy to find, and I can't pronounce the name of the other restaurant, El Viejo Zortzi, where we were the other day.
And there not only is the food traditional Basque and wonderful, but the restaurant is filled with bottles of wine, and with two prices, one to drink when you're in the restaurant, and one that's less if you want to take it home. So we hope that you'll take advantage of knowing about these two places, about which we knew nothing 48 hours ago, and we're so glad to share it with you listeners, and thank you so much, gentlemen, for being a part of our program today.
Yes, thank you for joining our program today. It was always a delight to have you on the other end of the wire, as it were, and we thank all our guests for the delightful food they prepared for us, as well as the fine words that you've been enjoying listening to. So we hope you'll join us again, same time, same place next